Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go, let's get it.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's get it rolling.
Yeah.
What do, people? Talking sports to the 12th man. We here to say, people.
Number one in fantasy. Number one in your heart. What we do. I love it. Whoa, we are officially talking sports with the 12th man on this Wednesday, August the 23rd. What? You are officially talking sports with the 12th man. We got a lot of things to discuss, America, like we always have to do. Preseason's been kicking off. We've been ready to have some fun. And of course, right around the corner, football, we can smell it, all that good jazz. But, of course, we got some news to talk
like
about,
napalm.
Like we always do. It's been like napalm. Yeah, exactly. It's just been one of those interesting weeks. So let's go ahead and get to it. As always, I'm your host, Andre. Let's kick it out with my other fellows, my co-hosts. Let's reach out to them and check in. Mr. JQ Jaquan Jenkins, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good. I just want to let the people know I will not get caught for any anabolic steroids. Come on, John Jones. What are you doing with yourself?
Man.
You should not get caught again. Mercy, come on, John. That just blew me away.
Personal plea right there from JQ to John Jones. That's what we like to do. And also we're going to kick it at, man, we had a freaking amazing, we got a solar eclipse, the total totality, a lot of things happening. And let's talk about another guy who's really big, tries to, have a big personality, Mr. Robert Ford. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing fantastic. No complaints at all. Let's make it do what it do, people.
That is what we do. And we'll talk about some sports, and obviously I do want to at least talk a little bit about hopefully you gentlemen had a good solar eclipse moment. Man, that was pretty fantastic for me, just experiencing that, which is one of those things. And the next one is going to be in 2024, so just a little FYI out there, people. We're still okay, obviously, but interesting event to say the least. But like we always like to do, I'll talk about that. But let's throw out the numbers. If you want to reach out to your boys, the number is always at 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. On Twitter, at the number 12, THMEN Sports. And then last but not least, Facebook.com/ Talking Sports for the 12th Man. Or if you actually type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen, are you ready to get this party started?
Let's get it.
I was making sure Rob was okay, man. It's definitely been a solar eclipse. He didn't tell us what he ate, man. It's been one of those crazy moments, man. We always sit there and,
right,
like, what's going on, bro?
That's because
what's
I have
up, bro?
Yeah, the brother's hungry.
Oh, man.
I'll be eating right after the show.
Oh, man. I guess it's going to be a quick show, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll see how it plays out. let's check this out, man. And, I got to show some love. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rob broke the news first regarding a move with the Cavaliers and the Celtics here. And I have a lot of thoughts to discuss about this. But, Rob, man, what was your first thoughts whenever you saw this? And I guess we're going to talk about the Cavs have some more moves to make with this, and kind of your thoughts about this, too. And, JQ, stay tuned, man, because this is going to be fun tonight, man. So go ahead, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Well, obviously, we knew something was going to get done with the Kyrie Irving situation. Obviously, this was a very touchy situation. I think it really sucks for the Cavs, because I think if they would have had any shot at beating the Warriors, I think, in my personal opinion, they would have needed Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, and Kevin Love, and another major piece to make a run at the Warriors. But I can't see this team constructed as is. And I know there are a lot of prognosticators think that the Cavaliers won this trade. I'm not one of them. I think Kyrie Irving was a really clutch performer. Offensively can probably get to the rack better than any player in the league. It's at 6'2".
Yeah.
And and he can really hit the clutch outside. I know Isaiah Thomas is a really good outside shooter, but he's a liability on defense. But you did get Jay Crowder in the trade, a guy who can actually play some defense. So that can help you there a little bit. But the big piece here is the Brooklyn Nets 2018 first-round draft pick. That could be a top-three pick in next year's draft. But you're talking about 2-3 years down the road before you're getting the benefits of that. And the Warriors right now, in the Cavs right now, one of your teams who expect to go to the finals every year. So you need players now, for that matter. But I personally think the Celtics obviously got the better end of the trade, in my personal opinion. That's just how I see it. I think the Cavaliers take a step back with this particular trade. And I think the Celtics are really setting themselves up here for being the next few years, being that team in the Eastern Conference going forward with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Haywood. Much as I hate to say it.
Yeah, go ahead, JQ.
I don't know. I'm gonna go with the prognosticators on this, and I think Cleveland won it, but I don't think the Celtics should be hammered the way they've been getting hammered, because if you think about it, you know, Isaiah Thomas, we don't quite know yet about his hip, but he wants to be maxed out. And for what they're trying to do, I don't know if they've wanted to max him out when you just got Gordon and you've already given big money to Al Horford and you basically had to give away, Avery Bradley to make that space to get Gordon Hayward. But for the Cavs, you look at, yes, Kyrie is super clutch, and I'll never take that away from him. But let's not forget about Isaiah Thomas scoring the most fourth quarter points, you know, on average than anybody in the league. If he comes back healthy, you know, they take a step back, but Kyrie wasn't great defensively either, if we want to be quite honest. But what they picked up in that pick that you talked about, to where it lets them straddle that line of getting the future building block in case, you know, they lose Isaiah and LeBron to help jumpstart that process, also helps them as well. So I don't know if they lost it. And then you think about Crowder and his ability to defend out on the wing, and that's something they absolutely did not have at all against Golden State. So you add another, you know, perimeter defender. I don't think they step back as much as you think they do. It really comes down to, can Isaiah Thomas gel with them, and will he take it seriously? Because you also got to remember, he's going into a contract year. So he's got a lot to prove as well. And it may not be trying to stay with Cavs long term, but to prove that he's worth that max player. So the Cavs are getting somebody that's super motivated to come out and play good ball. And, you know, the last piece of that is, you know, lost in it is Kevin Love. And without a ball-dominant Kyrie Irving, who, you know, for all as great as he is very – ISO-driven kind of player, not a great pick-and-roll or dribble handoff, which Isaiah Thomas is good at. But does this give Kevin Love a chance to come back and show some of his worth back to the league where he's not pushed so far in the background? Because if for Cleveland to have any shot, they got to get Kevin Love to have a, you know, be like Big Sean and bounce back. Like, they really have to have that in order to move forward. So, I mean, it can set up, but I'm not saying if it all fails, LeBron leaves, you take his money off the books. Isaiah Thomas leaves, take his money off the books. You still got Kevin Love signed long term, and then you got that number one pick. So, you know, it may be we see if it works and whatnot. We gamble. If we lose, we still set ourselves up for the future with that probably a top 3 or 4 pick, because I don't think Brooklyn's going to improve that much this year.
Yeah. Good call, gentlemen. I mean, you know, this is going to sound weird. I mean, as much as I hate, you know, the Cavs, man, and I definitely hate the Celtics, man, because it just, I mean, it may be a win-win, and the reason why I say it's a win-win is because, you know, it's one of those weird things, because Cleveland got shown that they were pretty old, you know, with playing against the Warriors. They didn't have a lot of bench depth. They had anything. So this one move, you kind of take a piece that, you know, and we'll talk about whether this was a strategic move by Kyrie, but in one move, you get, like, you basically instantly get almost, like I said, player for player. And I'm going to give, you know, it's almost, you know, Kyrie is, you know, amazing. So, and Isaiah Thomas is good too. So you got, like, you're almost kind of swapping. It's weird to kind of, I'm not comparing both the players too, but it's like you're getting just a good caliber player back that you gave away. Then you get Jay Crowder, you get, you know, some other players, and you get a pick next year, man. So if you're like Cleveland, bing, you win. Go back to the Celtics. You get, you know, you giving up, if you just say, I'm giving up Isaiah Thomas, you're like, who can get back? Kyrie Irving? yes, please, I'm in for that. You got to get a couple more players. You get a Gordon Hayward, and you still have your extra picks from, you know, from Danny Ainge. So, you know, you're winning. You got, like, a great young squad. Now, granted, you know, they're going to grow into that role, but, you know, if you're the Celtics, this is a great move as well. So, as Rob said, you pretty much position yourself to be right there up, obviously, in the top of the Eastern Conference. You know, maybe Cleveland got a little weaker. But, again, at this juncture, you know, it's pretty much no hard feelings. You're kind of setting yourself up for the future. And if you're the fans, you know, maybe you lose LeBron if you keep hearing a lot of the rumors. And then think about this, gentlemen. What if it becomes, you know, after the Warriors' kind of dominance kind of fades out, what if it becomes like, you know, Lakers versus Celtics part two? You know, you get LeBron to go back to Lakers, Paul George, whatever, and then you got Kyrie on the other end. And then next thing you know, you have this whole type of rivalry, and it gets built right back up again, man. So, I mean, and granted, that's kind of like a pipe dream, but I'm just saying, you know, you never know how this is going to play out, obviously, in the future as far as how setting things up, too. And, you know, like I said, if you're Cleveland, you're like, hey, guys, you got a first-round pick. Hey, don't cry for me, whatever. And, you know, LeBron can kind of be off the hook because he can be like, yo, I tried to build a squad, but we got enough people. Kyrie left me, blah, blah, blah. But he still comes out like he's ahead, you know. So, again, that's why I kind of think it's a win-win for both squads in a rare occurrence in the situation that, you know, everyone gets what they want. Cleveland gets younger. They get an extra pick. Boston, you know, they're not having, you know, don't cry for them. They're still going to keep their picks and get a great, you know, player in return, man. So, again, it's very frustrating, man, as a Hawks fan and, you know, whatever.
You ain't, I mean, the only good thing, I guess, from a Cleveland standpoint, get the guy, Isaiah Thomas, obviously is a great outside shooter. I think with this trade, you know, LeBron James has got to be the facilitator, and he's got to be the guy that's got to get to the paint and continue to kick it out. So that's, you know, I think if you can have a team of really good shooters around LeBron James, then you're always going to have a chance. So, I mean, obviously Cleveland will still be in the mix with this trade, but I think Boston got a little bit better, and they got a little bit better long-term, too.
Long-term is the question.
The thing about Boston is, you're right, they got that core, but it's really incumbent on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to continue to, you know, with Jaylen Brown really to take the next step, and for Jason Tatum not to just come in and fall on his face. If he's talented, don't get me wrong, but he's still a rookie, and they're going to be asking a lot out of him in that role. I agree with you, Dre. I think it is, if you want to really think about it in terms of what a way those franchises are positioning themselves, given their current stakes, I think it could end up being a win-win. I mean, it's rare that you get, you know, two top 20 players traded for each other. You know, it's just, it's crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. Like I said, I don't understand, you know, why, you know, Kyrie didn't want to play with, you know, LeBron, whatever. Maybe he started being Robin, you know, whatever the case may be. But, again, you know, but, yeah, but, you know, again, I mean, you're going from LeBron to Hayward and Al Horford, if you will. And, you know, obviously there's other players in that squad, too. But it's just one of those situations, too. It's just an interesting move, man. But
you're viewing,
you know,
it the wrong way. He's not viewing it as going from them to them. He's viewing it as he's becoming the LeBron for that team. So if you view it through that prism for him, then, I mean, I'm saying that it's right, but I'm saying if you view it through that prism, that he's not looking to go to another team with a LeBron-level player. He wants to be that LeBron-level player and everybody else be kind of under him and support him. So you can't really look at it like that from his standpoint.
I get you. I mean, like I said, it still seems a little off of me too, but, you know, whatever. I mean, everything's going fine, you know. You know, on the championships, you go from kind of a sure thing, JQ, to something that may not be as sure as you think, you know, because you never know. You still got to, like, get some chemistry with your squad. I mean, no matter what I want, yeah, you know, I'm going to be the president, but I want everything comes with it, you know, whatever, you know. But, again, that's just me saying that. Until you actually are in that situation, you never know. So, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. So, I guess, are we saying that, I guess, as far as who won, are we saying we think that it's kind of a win-win, or kind of, I don't know if that's what you're saying too, Rob, JQ, what are your thoughts about that? Is there like a specific winner, or is it kind of like, hey, you kind of broke even?
I think it's more of almost a broke even. If you look at it, you know, through the lens of both of those franchises, the reason why the Celtics are getting beat up so much is because people feel like they could have had a better deal getting Jimmy Butler or Paul George when they had a chance, and they view those two guys as better two-way players as Kyrie. So I think that's part of the reason why you get Boston getting beat up. But, you know, Kyrie's no chump. You know what I'm saying? And you can't pay everybody. And he's still got, you know, 3 years left. He can opt out after the next two. So with that and those rookie deals they got in that mix, and you talked about that extra pick they still got coming, I think in 2019 from Brooklyn as a part of that Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce trade. I mean, they still have ways to improve and grow. And if you're Cleveland, you got a chance that if things blow up, you know, Derrick Rose is only on there for a year. Isaiah could walk away. LeBron could walk away. And, yeah, they take four steps back. But then they take a four steps back with a top four pick and still a fringe all-star in Kevin Love. So if it happens, there's teams, you know, look at your Hawks where people go away and you don't, and still don't end up with a top three pick to jumpstart that rebuild, you know. So that's still got to be viewed as a win if those things don't happen in their way. But if it does and everybody gets together and say, you know what, we can beat these dudes and they come out and play, then it's a win for Cleveland. So I think right now I think it's just even money.
Okay. All right. Your thoughts, Rob?
Well, I still think Boston wins the trade slightly. I think it's probably – I don't know if Cleveland could have got anything better in return than what they did. But I think long-term and even currently, I think, you know, getting a playmaker like Kyrie Irving was huge for the Celtics. And I think this could really set them up, obviously, going forward down the road. And this is also a team, when you look down the road, could still have some salary cap space where they can get another big-time player in the next couple of years. So I think having the Kyrie Irving, the Gordon Haywood, having a solid player in Al Horford, and maybe having the potential to get another big-time player really sets them up going forward. And so I would still give them the slight edge at the moment, even though I think Cleveland could have done a lot worse in the trade.
Absolutely. But real quiet, like, just to throw something in there, what are the fans and the players in Washington and Toronto saying? They're probably like, God damn.
we
trying to climb this
nothing.
Mountain. And goodness, we just are sitting here running the place of not going backwards 0.3% because, you know, that road for those two teams to try to get through, you know, you probably got Cleveland if it works out the way, if all things, you know, go well. Cleveland on one side is a 1 or 2, and Boston on the other side is a 1 or 2. And you're Toronto or Washington. And you got to go through both of those teams just to probably see the Warriors in the finals. That's a tough road for those two teams.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Okay. Let's keep this moving here, guys. And like I said, this is crazy stuff. All right, crazy talk, too. So we're going to keep this moving here. And I'm going to talk about the lineup in a quick second, too. But Rob, I'm going to start with you as far as do you think that the Celtics really have a great chance in re-signing Kyrie? I know you talked about this, JQ, with the contract. But do the Celtics have a great chance of re-signing Kyrie?
Oh, I absolutely think they do. Like I said, they're setting themselves up to be one of the major players in the Eastern Conference for years to come. And it's really remarkable the job that Danny Ainge has done with rebuilding this team after getting rid of the big three some years ago here with Garnett, Pierce, Ray Allen, and Rajon Rondo. I guess it was kind of like the big four. But they've done a tremendous job in rebuilding this franchise in just a short time. Normally it takes years before you see that kind of a rebuild takes place. So he's done a tremendous job, and I hate the Celtics. So, I mean, so I hate to be giving them that kind of credit, and I'm sure JQ hates them too, being a Lakers fan.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You have to give credit where credit is due. Danny Ainge and that organization has done a phenomenal job. Brad Stevens is a young head coach as well. They're right on par to be that team in the Eastern Conference. Cleveland is probably still the slight favorite, but I don't know. I know we had a debate a few weeks ago on the show, but I was going with Cleveland with the fact that Kyrie Irving was still going to be there. But it wouldn't surprise me. It definitely wouldn't surprise me now if Boston was able to overtake the Cavs. So I definitely think it's a lot closer now than what it was when we talked about on the show about a month or so ago. So, you look at the matchups, Kyrie Irving versus Isaiah Thomas. I'm still going with Kyrie Irving from the defensive liability standpoints that Isaiah Thomas have. Obviously, you're still going to take LeBron over Haywood, and you probably still would take Kevin Love over Al Horford. You know, then you got to consider the depth aspect. Yes. Obviously, Boston gave away a little bit of it with Jay Crawford. But, you know, that could be the difference between the two teams. How fast Jason Tatum develops, too.
Yeah, and Jaylen Brown is still intriguing. You got to remember, this is just to be his, third year?
Yep.
I mean, you know, he's still an intriguing prospect. That leads me to my point of why I think Boston does have a good shot to re-sign Kyrie. It's because for all the things that Rob just talked about, you know, you got Gordon and Al under a new contract for the next, 4 years combined for, where they overlap. You got those rookies on those rookie deals and Tatum and Jaylen Brown. You had to give up Crowder and Bradley, but if you're going to say I'm giving up Crowder and Bradley to get Hayward and Kyrie Irving, you make those moves, you know what I mean? They may potentially lose Marcus Smart because I just don't think they're going to be able to afford him in this new crazy CBA where Marcus Smart might get $20 million a year. It's insane, but he might. So that's a piece they may lose, and he's really a cog in their defense. But they still have, those guys that just mentioned still will put Boston in great shape, and I hate to say that. And another piece, if you're Kyrie, and same thing about LeBron, if we want to talk about it, do you really want to go into that crucible that is the Western Conference playoffs? And you're looking at your team, mm-hmm. if you're Kyrie and that Boston for what we just talked about, and a subplot is now you get to prove that you are not LeBron's little brother. You get a chance to go head-to-head with him if he stays, because I think LeBron may end up staying in the East because does he really want to go to the West in that foolishness? I don't know if he does. You're looking at a Toronto team that, if you're being honest, do you really fear Lowry and DeRozan? Probably not. I think John Wall is making an ascension in Washington, but Bradley Beal has to join him in that ascension, and I can Otto Porter taking another step as well. So they'll be difficult to beat, but you don't feel like they keep you up at night like the Warriors or the Rockets or the Spurs. You feel like you should be able to beat them in a 7-game series where you're looking like, okay, it's just really Boston. If you're Boston, it's really just Cleveland. I think that goes into it. Don't take that away, the chance for Kyrie to knock LeBron off his throne and say, yeah, I told you I didn't need him, and I stopped his trip to his record run to the finals. I mean, that's all in play. I could see Kyrie resigning in Boston.
Yeah, good calls. Yep. And like I said, there's a couple things, too, I knew. Al, you hit it on the head, Rob, as far as talking about having the capability, too, of adding another, having the salary cap to add, some more pieces. Because if you look at it, you look at the big three. I know the Celtics problem they ran into was they had some challenges, scoring, towards the end. They had some times there where the offense kind of stalled. Even though they had Isaiah, there were some times there where that offense stalled. Obviously, there's some young players, and Al, you just went for him. And then now you add two dynamic scorers in, obviously Kyrie and then Hayward. So that's your big three, obviously, Hayward, Kyrie, and Horford here. So can they hold off with that? The other part of the roster, guys, doesn't look as impressive, and I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, Jalen Brown's got to grow. You got Gerald Green. You mentioned Marcus Smart. You got, a couple of players, Terry Rozier. But you lost a lot of pieces, too. So this is going to be a good opportunity to see how Brad Stevens coaches, too, as well. Then, maybe you add that big time, maybe you add another, shooting guard or something like that, kind of fill out the bench. But other than that,
don't forget
again,
about Tatum.
I'm not forgetting about Tatum. Like I said, he's still got to grow, too. He's, a great rookie. But, again, he's still young, So, we're not counting them out by any means. So we're having fun with this, everyone. We're still kind of diving into this. And let's get some more thoughts about this because apparently this is all NBA talk right now. And the question that we have, we're going to get to Mr. no, it's all good. Throw this to Mr. JQ as far as the Cavs, and did they improve their defense with this trade, I guess is the question. So the floor is yours, sir.
I think a tad bit, but not a whole lot, because I still think, like for Rob said,
Isaiah
Thomas, man, yeah, he's what they need against the Warriors, don't get me wrong. But getting him doesn't offset the fact so much that Isaiah Thomas is still 5, if we're being honest, he's probably about 5'7". He's not really 5'9". And in the playoffs, that gets magnified. It's not the same way as playing people in, coming off 2 games and 3 nights or 3 games and 4 nights where they don't have that time to prepare and get that kind of strategy against you. In a 7-game series against one team, that's a really good team in the playoffs, that gets more exposed. So I think that takes them back some. So I think that it's almost a wash, but maybe tilting slightly in the favor of getting better, but it's not a drastic, Crowder's the end-all because he's good at what they're going to ask him to do. But you're going to lose some of that when you can go on the other side of the court and ask Isaiah Thomas to stay in front of somebody.
Rob?
I think getting Crowder, I think, really helps them from a defensive standpoint. That can take some pressure off LeBron James at that position from a defensive standpoint. And allowed him to roam a little bit more, and maybe save him for defensive issues more in the fourth quarter. But yeah, Isaiah Thomas is gonna hurt you. He'll be a mismatch on that end of the floor, especially come playoff time when it comes more half court basketball. Especially teams with big guards, they'll post him up and take him in the paint, and it'll be more of an issue Yeah, I don't think they got stronger just from that standpoint of Isaiah Thomas. They'll pick him apart down in the paint come playoff time.
So I got a question for both of y'all. Now that it's legal, do you think the Cavs employ some strategy of zone so that they don't have to play that man-to-man where they get Isaiah Thomas, you know, pinned down in the paint against a bigger guard? Because I think you're absolutely right, Rob, and that's why I say it's not a big swing because the crowd is such a problem because of Isaiah Thomas. But can they play more of a, you know, 2-3 or a box and one, so maybe a little bit more gimmicky kind of defense, you know, a matchup man, as opposed to a strictly man? I'd be real interested to see what Tyronn Lue does to try to offset that.
I agree, man. I think, I'm all heart, man. You know, like you said, you got to play what you have, man. You know, so my defense is going to outscore you, bro. So come on, come bring it, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm totally choking here. But, you know, like I said, I definitely think that's a good idea as far as adjusting that defense too, JQ, man. So we'll see if that works out. I mean, obviously playoffs is going to be a big thing too, but it seems like, you know, we're talking about, you know, Cleveland and what they acquired too. They got a couple of more glue guys too, because in the situations where, you know, they got Tristan Thompson, they got some guys that can do the dirty work. And then you add, you know, Isaiah Thomas, another scorer. I mean, I'm not saying he's just as good as Kyrie, but you kind of need that extra little oomph as well too, man. So just let, you know, LeBron and Isaiah do their thing, and then y'all just kind of do the, you know, clean up and you know, get some points in, as well too, man. So and, you know, obviously Kevin Love as well too, man. But you know, again, kind of agree, slight improvement, but, you know, we'll see how that chemistry works as they hit the court. Woo! All right. Let's switch gears here, and we got about – I'm trying to get off that subject. We got about 18 minutes left in the show, and the Big Ten. This is an interesting statement. Uh-huh. Will the Big Ten be the best conference in college football this season? Rob Ford, what the French toast?
I think from a top-heavy standpoint, absolutely. When you look at Ohio State, when you look at Penn State, when you look at Michigan, and you look at Wisconsin, those four teams really legitimately have a chance of being top 10 teams, just kind of similar to where they were last year. Obviously, Ohio State with Barrett and the defensive players that they have coming back, they're going to be tough. We talked about this with Penn State, McSorley. And the running back there, I mean, they're going to be really tough to beat. That's the best combination that they have since Kerry Collins and Kajana Carter back in 1994. So offensively, they could be really tough to stop. Then we look at Michigan. Michigan obviously lost a lot of personnel from last year's team, but they have some really studs, really highly recruited guys that are expected to step up this season. So they're still somewhat of a question mark, because that's the reason why I have them third in their division behind Ohio State and Penn State. But they still have a lot of potential in that team if some of these guys are able to rise to the occasion on next season. But that's a little bit – the talent is definitely there, but they have a lot of talent that hasn't proven themselves yet. So there's still a slight question mark there. And, of course, Wisconsin. I mean, they're always going to be there. They have good veteran leadership on their team, and they should win their division fairly easily in the Big Ten. So from a top-heavy standpoint, I don't think there's another conference in the country that has four legitimate teams of being the top 10 candidates. From top to bottom, they may not be the best conference, but from a top-heavy standpoint, they're definitely, from a top four or five standpoint, they're definitely the best in the country.
What about the SEC, man? Come on now.
Taking
something
else. Yeah,
no, that's actually where I was going to go. I think the ACC is going to be deeper. I think, well, part of me, as I think more about it and read more, I think we're undervaluing Clemson a lot, because Dabo is actually cranking out a whole lot of recruits. And for all the things you just said about Michigan, and I'm still getting that love, I feel like people are pushing Clemson down further because of that same thing of losing all those people, but not giving Dabo the credit of replacing that talent with top-tier talent, which he's been doing. So, I know it's going to be a shock, but I'm not sold on Wisconsin, and they lost a linebacker, I forget his name, for the season with torn ACL, and that's a big blow to that defense. I'm gonna go with the ACC. I kind of feel like that Clemson, Florida State, Louisville. I think, you know, North Carolina is going to be better than people think. I think Virginia Tech is going to be better than people think. I think Wake Forest is going to be a little bit better than people think. So I think from a top to bottom standpoint, I think the ACC is going to be the best conference. But I agree with Rob. Top heavy wise, slight edge to the Big Ten, but not a whole lot over the ACC.
send all your emails to Rob at 12thmansports, JQ at 12thmansports.com if you want to, like, comment on that, man. So just, you know. Oh, man.
It's true. Look, I could have been a homer. I wasn't a homer. I'm just trying to be honest.
No. No, I appreciate that. We try to stay objective for sure, man.
Hey,
so
that's what we
good.
Need.
Yeah, yeah. It's all good. You know, so good calls as far as that, too. And like I said, I think it's going to be a very entertaining college football season, to say the least, too. So, you know, we're excited to see a lot of quarterback play, some young quarterbacks. You know, obviously, who's going to, like, rise to the top? You have some seniors and, you know, USC's in the world, too. But, you know, we'll look at conferences and we'll see how this plays out the gate. All right. So we're talking – we talked about a little NBA. We talked about some college. Now let's switch to the NFL. And, you know, let's talk about Robert's boy, Odell Beckham, you know, and you know, and his dramatics, man. What's up with that, Rob? Is he a little too dramatic, man? Tell me your thoughts about that.
Oh, well, you know the wide receiver position is a bunch of divas already. So, you know, you got to have that diva personality, man, and that persona. He's right in that ballpark, but, you know, I obviously think the situation is probably overblown than what it actually is. And he's probably caused a lot of that.
What did he do, man? Go ahead.
Self-inflicted wounds, and to quote Joakim Noah, Hollywood is hell. You know Odell Beckham Jr. is like that. I mean, this is not a revelation. He's been like that, back to that, especially in that Carolina game. With Josh Norman, I mean, he is who he is. But he's so productive on the field, and that's what it is.
He is who we thought he was.
But right, that's exactly who he is. Crown him. So, I mean, you can go back to Chad and T.O., you know, and Randy and all the stuff he's done. I mean, the wide receiver position, just like Rob said, is pure diva. And you take what you can get. You take the good with the bad with that. But when you got that much good that OBJ is showing you, and I don't know if you've seen those crazy clips from camp, where he was just absolutely killing fools in the red zone with these one-handed catches. I mean, he's a monster, but you got to live with that.
I'm going to disagree slightly, and the reason why I'm going to say this slightly is because I'm going to talk about the receivers of now, the new crop of receivers that are more divas. The older receivers, the old-school ones, I don't think they were always the case. You know, that's just me. Whenever I think back to the Jerry Rices of the world, Chris Carter's, a couple receivers that, you know, they weren't all about. I mean, they were slight divas, but they weren't like this diva. The reason why I'm talking about this is because I want to get your thoughts as far as, you didn't know Anquan Boldin, he retired literally a couple of weeks after getting signed with Buffalo. I don't know if it was because of them trading Sammy Watkins. That may have something to do with it. But I want to get your opinion on this guy, too, about Anquan. Do you think he's a Hall of Fame receiver? And I'm curious about that, too, because he's got some pretty good numbers, but – In your assessment, do you think he's a Hall of Fame receiver? And it's like him and I kind of compare him to a Hines Ward, you know, guys that were just tough as nails receivers. You know, maybe they weren't like the, you know, these diva-ish receivers, if you will, but, you know, kind of your thoughts about that and as far as if you think, you know, like I said, about Anquan and how he's performed in the NFL as a pick that didn't really have any injuries and really much had a great career, if you will. So go ahead with that, if you don't mind.
I think he's definitely a Hall of Fame wide receiver. I also think Terrell Owens should probably be in before him, though, even with all the crybaby antics. But I definitely think if Anquan Boldin, I definitely think is a Hall of Fame receiver. But they got to get Terrell Owens in there, too. I think he should be in there before Boldin, even though Boldin is a Super Bowl winner, which Owens came close but never – got to the mountaintop.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah, but that's apples and oranges. Terrell Owens numbers are ridiculous, only behind Jerry Rice in a lot of categories. That's just travesty that he didn't make it as a first ballot, and it's only because of
we know why he didn't make it. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, I know. I'm just I got to put it out there for the record that is ridiculous, because if you can smack chicks and do blow while you're driving on the highway and still make it, then you can let Terrell Owens in. Let's just be for real. I don't know. I kind of put Anquan Boldin also in that Steve Smith kind of territory where they were just good for so long. And then, you know, you look up and I think Steve Smith, I think, is like fifth or sixth or something like that in all time receiving yards. I think Anquan Boldin is like ninth or something like that. So it's crazy. They're somewhere in that area. That might not be the right numbers, but they're somewhere in that area. But they're going to have another log jam ahead of them where you talk about a T.O., when does he get in, when they let Randy Moss in, they should, but he also had his stuff. You also got a Marvin Harrison sitting out there. You also have a Reggie Wayne sitting out there. It's going to be tough for him to get in, and Steve Smith that I talked about that maybe gets in before him. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a little bit longer wait. I don't know. I think he is in that hall of very good, but I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame.
Gotcha. No, I was just curious because, like I said, you know, there's we know that, and like I told you before, there's obviously going to be a situation where we're going to have the wide receiver class, and we're going to get a lot of different receivers that are going to be in there. You're going to probably see, like we talked about, you know, next year Randy Moss will be eligible. You know, you'll see Terrell Owens. You'll see, you know, Marvin Harrison's, a couple guys that that you're thinking about. The reason why I asked that, gentleman, is because I think that I was looking up some numbers, and he has just as many touchdowns. He has more touchdowns than Andre Reed, right? And Andre Reed was in a freaking run and shoot offense with Buffalo. That's not knocking Andre Reed because Andre Reed is amazing. But it just shows you, like, you're like, wow, I didn't realize his stats. He was just – I mean, again, you're looking at, you know, statistics and other things as well too, and I didn't realize that, how far this guy has been just making catch after catch, clutch. You know, again, I'm not going to say he's like a burner, but, you know, just a very consistent player. He's played for a long time. And he's got some pretty good numbers. So, you know, he's not one of those players that you just think, oh, Randy Moss, yeah, or Terrell Owens, yeah. It's just one of those things. And I was like, wow, I was actually impressed to see the number that he was able to put up during his career as a guy that, as you know, wasn't a high, high draft pick, but he did the most of what he had. So that's my two cents on that, too. So
the thing about it is, the thing why I say that is, you're right, you talk about Andre Reed, but think about how long it took Andre Reed and Tim Brown and them to get in. And I think he's going to experience one of those kind of waits because of those things you talked about with Terrell Owens and a Randy Moss ahead of him and then some of the other guys that I mentioned before. I wouldn't be upset if he made it like, oh, hell no, nah, what were they thinking? Like, it would never be that situation because Anquan Boldin has just been a rock, really, for a lot of years. But I don't think it's going to be in that, you know, first, second, third, or fourth year. I think he's got a little bit of a wait.
I agree.
Yeah.
I was just saying, like, I was looking at the numbers, and I couldn't believe how he had numbers that were just as good as Andre. I'm like, wow, because you say a wide receiver like that, you're like, that guy is amazing. Then you're like, man, he had just as many. You know, it's just one of those things, you know, maybe, you know, I don't think he was – no, I'm not, like, knocking him like he wasn't as dynamic, but you're just like, man, this guy put some numbers up, you know. So, and it's just one of those things again, you know. So it was just kind of interesting to see that too as well. So, you know, I apologize. I digress. I just thought that was a good thing because I was literally thinking about that. If anyone thought that you'd be kind of like, you know, one of those Hall of Fame type of players too. So we're doing good. Gentlemen, we've got about 7 minutes here, and we'll probably wrap up the show early too because it's not too much to talk about, and I'm sure I don't want Rob to – I can hear Rob's stomach, you know, kind of growling and stuff like that too. So we'll keep this moving here.
Brother man, got to eat.
Oh, man. I'm excited because let's talk about our fantasy draft, man. So how are you feeling, man? Yours truly randomly got the number one pick. I think it literally was like, I was like, man, this is going to be fun too. And JQ, what has been the highest that you picked in our draft, man? Have you picked pretty high before, or what's been your highest number?
I have picked number one before, but
okay.
In the combination of our drafts, I have picked 11th, I think like four times. And I'm just sitting here like, come on, Yahoo. Why do you keep doing that to me, player? You know what I mean? Like, why do you keep giving me number 11? I mean, I know I'm – and the crazy is I'm born on the 11th, so maybe that's Yahoo playing a trick on me or whatever algorithm that they're using or whatever. But they love
the first round?
Number 11. who did I take in the first round? I think I took Jay Ajayi from Miami. Then I took AJ Green on the comeback. Yeah. Yeah, I basically had to wait to see what y'all was not going to take and then choose from that.
All the leftovers? Oh, man.
Yeah, pretty much. And then Rob gets third. I'm like, come on, man. They are wilding, man. They are wilding. Rob, your birthday is what, the 4th of July? The 5th? The 5th. So that 3 ain't far from your 5. I might be on to something to Yahoo's little thing. I think they're messing around.
Oh, man.
Wow. What about you, man? What's up with that, man? Rob, what do you think about your draft, man?
Well, obviously, in some areas, I'm really pleased. And some, you know, obviously, it doesn't flow as perfect as you would like for it to flow. And But overall, I think I'm pretty happy. The only thing I messed up on, or not paying attention, I was doing about three other things during the draft, and wound up taking the defense way too early.
Stupid you weren't
Yahoo.
The only one, though. It was like seven people took a defense in a row. That's why I typed cute in there. Like, look at this foolishness. Can we talk about, though, y'all, I love your folks being in the league, but come on, man, y'all be clowning, you know, jumping up and taking Drew Brees, the last pick in the first round, and somebody took him, and I think he took Brandon Cooks super early. I was like, man, New Orleans is wilding in this draft.
And Brandon Cook not even with the Saints no more.
Yeah, but he clearly was the Saint affinity. What happened? I think Adrian Peterson went earlier than I thought he would go. It was just like, y'all are tripping.
That's true. We got a lot of Saints fans within our draft. But the only thing I'll say about that, JQ, which is pretty cool, is that I know that there's some players that are going to drop too. So that's the only thing that I had to, you know, that I'm cool with. I know it sounds weird, man. Every time I play with me and Rob knows this guy named Mark Robinson. Every time he's in the draft, literally, he's my only Falcon fan. So I know he's going to draft all the Falcons. So that's something I was actually happy that he was in the draft because I try to be balanced, man. You know, as much as I hate, you know, drafting some Saints players, I didn't draft Tom Brady. I was pretty much on a mission not to draft a lot of Patriots players. But, you know, it was one of those, I'm like, all right, you know, so it was just kind of funny to see how that played out for sure, man. So some players dropped. And I really, really can't stand auto draft, man, because you know that you have to kind of pick ahead because you know that next player is going to go to, you know, the next squad, you know, because that's just how they're ranked, man. So it just kind of throws you off a little bit, you know. So it's all good.
Yeah, true.
Absolutely.
So you're drafting instead of that, too. But, you know, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Got a little B-plus on my report card. So, hey, you know, it's all good. And just to let you know how players you got to see, bro, they didn't like what you did, man. But, again, that's just all. It can be whatever, man. So, you know,
I don't get that no mind, man. Well,
yeah,
I know why, because I took, like, seven running backs. They was looking at me like, dude, what are you doing? But
like,
you took seven running backs?
I took seven running backs.
That sounds like something I would have done in a previous draft, but the draft didn't set up that way this year for me.
Yeah, it just is. I mean,
but
I
have done that
before. I was trying to grab because I wasn't sure on who was going to hit. So I figured if I hit on a couple, then I could let the other ones go or, you know, swing a trade for somebody's second or third wide receiver if I need it at that point. So it was like, you know, everybody, especially with that flex spot, everybody's going to want a back, especially if you get a couple to pop off and I can sell high, then, you know, go for it. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm in so many leagues that I just try to do one strategy sometimes and one just to see if it'll work. And then doing a different one, then compare, and then try to take that into another year of, okay, I tried this, you know, I went and tried this before, and it didn't work, or I did, or a piece of it worked, so if I only do this piece of it combined with this, then I'll have a better draft. So, but I just don't have a super lot of love for a gang of people. Once we got past that, you know, third, maybe fourth round, I was kind of like, I can see some of these dudes hitting, but I can see some of these dudes being bust.
You never know. I love how they put the analysis. They said if Ohio players had a nickel for every time Jay Ajayi is projected to touch the ball, they'd have 309 nickels.
Oh, yeah. <man. laughs> Hey, listen, I take it. I'll take all those nickels.
They gave me some love for Rob Gronkowski, so that's another thing kind of threw us off, too. There was like a run on defenses and whatnot, too. But, man, I totally like just messed up, too. Anyway, we got about a minute and 30 seconds. So, Rob, can you go ahead and wrap up the show, OT portion? It's going to be a short OT portion. We'll probably wrap up the show, too, as well. We'll go ahead and come from there, too. So, go ahead, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank you all for tuning in tonight. We greatly appreciate it. We'll be back on Wednesday night again on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. We're getting closer and closer to the start of the NFL and college football season. So we will definitely have a lot to talk about. You do not want to miss it. We promise we'll have a great show for you. As Andre just mentioned, we won't have a long OT portion, not a whole lot more for us to talk about tonight. But if you want to click the OT portion, click on the same link on tomorrow, and we'll have a little bit more sports talk for you all. Greatly appreciate it again, tuning in. Join us next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
Yeah.
Good night, good people, and thank you at Cincinnati Reds because I was at the game where they won 2 or 3 from the Braves. I'm going to throw that out there. But I took a picture with the family, and I tagged the Reds in it, and they liked it and put it on their feed. So shout out to the Reds for putting my family in the feed.
how it's done this week.
That's what's up, man. Finish that, boy. That's awesome, man. That's amazing, bro. I was going to ask you, man, because I saw the pictures, man, and of course, you know, we had the one game, then you went to the games that, you know, Cincinnati did their thing. But anyway, we had some fun. I'm glad you had a good time, by the way, too. Yeah, 10 seconds here. We'll see you guys same time, same channel next week as we get ready to wrap this bad boy up, as always. So, yeah, we're officially the OT portion, gentlemen. And I'm glad that we're going to do the show on Wednesday, because hopefully, crossing my fingers, and I may get a chance to go to the Falcons game, preseason game at Mercedes-Benz too, stadium. So, in spite of me, they don't really sell like a lot of single season tickets from what I'm hearing. So, if that happens, that may be my only time to go to see the beautiful stadium, and we'll have some fun with that, man. So, that'll be fun, man. So, next Thursday night, hopefully, I get a chance to be at the stadium and kind of take all of that in, man, and be like, hey, I'm here. I made it. So, all is well, man. Rob,
that's,
man, you're in our city, man. You had a good visit, man? Everything good, bro? Was it good, man?
Oh, yeah, everything was really good, man. Greatly appreciate it.
Wait a minute, man. Yeah. You was here?
He was here, I was yesterday, yeah.
See,
it was a short stay, but I was there.
Rob ain't shit. He ain't told us. They said one text message, it's like, hey, I'm here. What y'all doing? That man is coming.
He did.
Hey, I was just for the day, man. I literally flew in the morning and flew out. The same afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna try to hook up. JQ, we're trying to hook up. I was like,
yeah.
Where you at? Blah blah blah. At the airport.
That's what delayed our draft call, because I was flying back to Houston, and I had to fly, instead of flying nonstop to Houston, I had to fly to Birmingham, then to Houston. So that's all. I had to push the show back. I mean, it was a fantasy draft.
Yeah.
You had to stop in Birmingham on your way to Houston from Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. You normally don't have to. Atlanta normally flies everywhere direct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, but, you know, that's just the way it happens.
He tried to, like, figure out how to say that, JQ. What happened?
I know. That's what I'm laughing at. He was like, he's going to tell me the story. He was like, nah, I'm just like, going to get into this kind of story.
Yeah, Rob hungry. We're gonna let Rob eat, man. He about to like pass out, bro. All right, anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah, go grab some food, bro.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure. We'll talk to you guys next week, same time, same channel. See Chris out. Be good, gentlemen. Be good, guys. Okay.
All right. Good night, people.
All right, fellas.
Good night.
All right, y'all.
Yep. All right.